we might do is before we look at a short Bible talk is we just come before the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing upon the teaching of his word. Let's pray together. Oh, our God and our Father, we thank you for the meal that we've just had and the time of friendship and talking that we've been able to have over the table. Lord, we do pray that now as we come to consider your word, that you would speak to us, that, Lord, we would hear the words of life and that we would look to the Lord Jesus. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it should go without saying that every movement in the world has some sort of central figure. Now, we've just had a general election, and at the election you see that even though you've got all these political parties with multiple candidates, there's always that one central figure that dominates the political landscape. Movements have central figures, and it's the same with religion as well. And when we come to Christianity, it's pretty clear that Jesus is the central person. It should be he should be the central focus of all that we do and all that we think about when it comes to Christian belief. Now, the name of Jesus is quite commonly known in this country. I've been to places in the world where Jesus isn't that well known. But here in the UK, most people have heard of Jesus. They might know some of the religious connotations in relation to him. Others would have simply heard his name used as a curse word. But what is quite common, especially in Western countries today, is that we can use the name of Jesus a lot, we can speak about Jesus quite often, but we may not necessarily know who he is exactly. And over the next few months when I share at Lunch for Locals, what I would like to do is actually introduce you to Jesus. And what I mean by that is not telling you about who Jesus is, not the Jesus on the postcards or on the Christmas cards or the Jesus you see in stained glass windows. Rather, I want to let the Bible speak for itself and introduce you to the Jesus of the Bible. Let Jesus himself tell us who he is. And today I'm going to start by looking at the Gospel of John, which is just a biography of Jesus. It's a summary of who Jesus is and what he has done by looking at his encounter with a woman in a city of Samaria. Now, the narrative that I'm going to talk about is found in John chapter 4. We're not going to read the whole section of Scripture dealing with Jesus and this woman of Samaria. However, we do have copies of the Gospel of John available, which we would like for you to take and read yourself so you can discover who Christ is. So let me just quickly summarize what is happening here in John chapter 4. We are told of a situation where Jesus and his disciples are traveling from a place called Judea up to Galilee. And as they travel, they go through a region known as Samaria. Now, that was an odd thing to do. Normally, the Jews would not go through Samaria. They would try and avoid it because the Samaritans hated the Jews and the Jews hated the Samaritans. And if you hate each other, you don't hang out in each other's backyard. But they go together, Jesus and his disciples go together up to Samaria, and they come to a city called Sychar. And Jesus goes there, and when he gets to the city, he is weary, he is tired, so he sits down by a well, and his disciples go off to find food. Now, this whole situation is odd and strange. There's that clash of cultures that is occurring. But what we see with Jesus is that he doesn't let the culture dictate what he thinks and what he does. Jesus loves the people of Samaria, including the people that society didn't like. So Jesus is sitting by the well. He is resting. The Bible tells us all this takes place at midday. It's the hottest part of the day. I know it's not long after midday here. It's certainly not the hottest part of today here for us, but in the Middle Eastern culture, midday was when the sun was high, it was hot, and what you would do is you would go back to your homes, you would stay in your house or in the shade, you wouldn't do anything at the hottest part of the day. But as Jesus sits by the well, this woman approaches. She comes out and she begins to head towards the well in order to draw water. Now, the mere fact that she is doing this, the mere fact she is there, tells us much about this woman. She didn't collect water when everyone else did it. Normally, you'd collect it in the cool of the morning or in the evening. You never went out in the hot part of the day. That was not what you did. But the mere fact this woman does this tells us that she was a social outcast. She wasn't liked by the people of her city. In fact, if we read on in the Gospel of John later on in this chapter, we discover that this woman didn't have the best morals. She was a lady who had been married 5 times. And at the time she meets Jesus, she was actually shacked up with a man who wasn't her husband. So she was classed as a lady by society who was living in sin. She was not a moral person. Society, her own people, rejected her. But what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't. Jesus does not reject this woman despite all her moral failings. He cares for her, he loves her, and he shows kindness to her. And as she comes to the well, as she comes to Jesus, Jesus initiates a conversation with her. He says to her, "Give me a drink." Now that would have shocked the woman. No one speaks to her. Her own people don't speak to her. Yet here is a Jewish man sitting by a well asking her for a drink. Now the question is, why would Christ do that? Why would Christ ask this woman, whom he knows all about, for a drink of water? Well, what Jesus is doing here is he's showing his care for her. He's showing he loves her. He's showing that he is not just for one particular people group, but rather he is for all the peoples of the world. And the woman is stunned by what Jesus says. So she says to him, "Why would you ask me that? You being a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink, why would you do that?" And that gives Jesus the opening to explain what he is doing. It gives him the opening for him to explain why he's asking her for a drink. And Jesus gets to the heart of the matter when he says these words. Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks of this water," that is the well, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus is using the illustration of water, "Give me a drink," to show that he can offer the woman much more than the water she is pursuing. Just as water is needed for life, we can't survive without water. What Jesus is saying to this woman is that she needs him if she wants true life, if she wants true peace, true contentment, and satisfaction. There was an old theologian named Augustine who once prayed in a prayer to God these words. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." This woman at the well had a restless heart. She was looking for something. She was looking for love. By the mere fact she had five husbands and the man she was with was not her husband, she's looking for love in all the wrong places. She went to man after man but never found love. She never found peace. She never found satisfaction. She was looking for something to fill the void inside. And she would try many different things to fill this emptiness, to fill this void, but nothing quite satisfied. It'd be like a person today saying they are really thirsty and longing for a drink of water, but instead of coming and getting a nice, cool cup of water, they head down to the beach and begin to drink the seawater. They begin to drink the ocean water. If they drink that water, they may feel like they're doing something, but it's never going to satisfy thirst. It's never going to quench the problem that they have. And that's what this woman was doing. She had this problem. She had this void, this restlessness, where she was looking for love. She was looking for satisfaction, but could never find it. So Jesus says to her, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Jesus promises satisfaction. Jesus says he is able to deal with the issues that makes her heart restless. So the reason this woman kept looking for love and kept looking for things to fulfill her restless heart is because as human beings, we are made to find love and contentment in God. We are all designed to know God, but the problem is because of our sin, we have chosen to separate ourselves from the Creator. This woman had sinned. We all have sinned. We all separate ourselves from God. We cut ourselves off from Him. And as a result, there's that emptiness, that void, that restlessness within us that we try to fill with many different things. But nothing in life ever fills the gap. But then Jesus comes along and he says he is the one who can truly satisfy. He is the one who loves us. Jesus promises to fill the void in our heart, but he actually goes further than that. He says, "I will give you a new heart with new desires, a heart that is satisfied in him." And the way Jesus does this is by paying the penalty for the sin that we've committed. Our sin cut us off from God. So Jesus comes along and he says, I love you. I care for my people. And he goes to the cross and pays the penalty for sin. He pays the penalty for our rebellion towards God. He is cut off in our place. He is our substitute. He dies the death that we should die. He's crucified, dead and buried. And then 3 days later, he rises again from the dead. And now he calls on all people. He calls on this woman in Samaria. He calls on you and I to find satisfaction in him. To come to him in repentance, that is turning from our sin and trusting only in him. Trusting in him alone to rescue us. See, this woman encountered Jesus who challenged her. And when we read who Jesus is from the Bible, when we begin to get introduced to who Jesus is, we find that he has to challenge us as well. And the question for all of us today is this: would we come to Christ? Would we find satisfaction in him? Would we come to him in repentance and faith? Would we trust in Christ alone? As Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus promises life. He promises eternal life to all those who would come to him to have their spiritual thirst satisfied. This woman at the well, she did that. We read on in John chapter 4 that she realizes that Jesus is the rescue, and she rushes back to her village and she finds all the people who rejected her and said, come and see the one who I have found. I have found the Messiah. I have found the rescuer. And the people then came out and they found their satisfaction in Jesus also. They came to him and they trusted in him. You see, all of this tells us that Jesus loves people. He loves people no matter what they have done, what their background may be. It tells us that he cares for you and I, no matter what sin we've committed. And he promises to forgive us and change us if we would trust in him. So today, if you haven't already, would you trust in Christ? Would you come to him and say, Lord, I need you to forgive. I need you to rescue me. May I find my satisfaction in you alone. Let's pray together, shall we? God and our Father, we thank you that we can read the scripture and we can learn of who Jesus is. That he is the source of life and peace and contentment. That he is the one who deals with our restless hearts by going to the cross to die in our place and to rise again. Lord, I pray that all of us would come to the Lord Jesus, trusting only in him. That we'd find peace and contentment in Christ alone. That we'd find forgiveness of sins and life eternal in what Jesus has done. Oh Lord, we pray that you'd show grace to each and every one of us. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.